These are really challenging times, I mean, both economically and socially. So one of the things that we've decided to do in this session is to talk about how you can still grow, how you can boost growth on a very tight, limited, or almost, to be fair, seriously, zero budget. So boosting growth on a budget is our topic for today's session. And a lot of us are facing the challenges of, if we're in marketing or if we're in a small business, particularly, almost budget down to the point of zero. And one of the reasons for this is obviously we need to be maximizing our profitability in these very tough times and certain sectors which are shrinking, which of course then puts extra pressure on our businesses and our organizations. So as we go through this session, I'm going to explore a number of ways that you can actually still grow, even though you might have a budget restriction or your budget might have been cut down to mere sort of minimal zero, almost zero. So let's focus on what we might term and describe as lean marketing. So we are going to need to become very, very lean. So what do we mean by this? Well, Peter Drucker says that efficiency is doing better what is already being done. In other words, it's just about tightening everything up. I remember working for many years ago, a product based organization that was doing some consumer products. And when I was in that manufacturing environment, I learned probably more about lean marketing than I have in all of the years outside of that organization put together. And the reason being was it was so cost conscious. In other words, everything that was done with really, really clear priorities. Everything was really focused in. And it didn't mean that it was a mean organization. They paid well, they rewarded, good performance. It was just done in such a way that you would describe it as being lean. In other words, there was no kind of wastage going on. And it would always be, for me, typified by when you drive your car into the car park in the morning, the car parking spaces were so tight to open the door and actually get out of your car. And it was just a reminder. I think it was probably just purely by chance, but it was a reminder, I expect, for all of us. Certainly it was for me, that every morning you just had to be tight and lean in what you were doing. And so some tips for really getting more from the resources and the budget that you have available are to really identify and focus on your most profitable customer segments. Now, this for most of us kind of goes without saying. We would expect to be doing this. But actually identifying and focusing on the most profitable customer segments allows us not to be wasting time and energy and resources on those who are not going to give best value back to us in terms of a return on our investment of resources. So really focusing in on the most profitable areas of the business is certainly part one. Utilizing data-driven marketing to target and retarget audiences effectively. I'm speaking a lot right now about split testing. So that is A/B testing. Doing one thing, splitting it out into two almost identical things, but changing just one thing so that when you get the results back, you can see if option A was performing better or less well than option B. And you can learn by just changing one thing what it was that made the difference. So constant data-driven retargeting, remarketing is a really powerful way to just become more lean and more focused as you work. Implementing continuous feedback loops to constantly improve your strategies is a really, really important way of doing this. There's never been a time where listening, actively listening to how things are going, continually feeding back in the performance of everything. That's people, that is budget, that is choices in campaigns, that is product performance. Everything needs to have a continuous feedback loop because if you continue to do the things that you've always done mindlessly and not kind of really watching the outcomes of those activities, then it's going to be very, very hard to become lean. So actively listening to performance and actually how things are going, how things are progressing, is going to enable you to become more efficient, more prioritized, and more focused. And this will allow us to then develop more cost-effective digital marketing strategies. You know, and particularly when for a lot of us, we are trying to communicate with the outside world, be it through digital and social media or more traditional methods aligned with kind of face-to-face sales, for example. Gary Vaynerchuk says that content is king, but marketing is queen and runs the household. I love that quote from Gary V, because what it basically says is that, you know, whilst we should be talking and we can be talking, doing the right thing, creating high quality content that provides the most, the maximal value to our audience, very much SEO optimized so that it's hitting the right people at the right time, is where we need to be. So if you've already fallen into the trap of publishing for publishing's sake, just doing socials because you can, but not really targeting it, just producing the same kind of content because it's easy to do, this is not the way forward. Less is more. What we need to be doing here is making sure that we do less of what works, but actually making sure that it works really, really well. So this whole idea of boosting growth on a budget means that we need to consider all of our resources. If we don't have paid for advertising digitally, for example, we need to be using social media platforms for organic reach. And particularly, I think, going forward into the coming year, for building community, because those communities can be doing marketing on our behalf. And that's where we can start to see some really powerful gains. So investing again, maybe in some very cost-effective, maybe more traditional marketing style. So email marketing, we've seen really demonstrating a resurgence in recent years. And it's there because it's got a high return on investment. And of course, the direct engagement with target customers. And with email, you can split it down to a one-to-one engagement if you can afford to, you know, spend the time to prioritize what a particular individual customer wants, give it to them in a personalized, customized fashion rather than just one blanket coverage. Again, this is about boosting growth on a budget, you know, but email can be there for you for free. So the high ROI that comes from that personalization through that as a more traditional channel can be very, very effective. Another thing which can also be worth considering here is based around Helen Keller's quote, which is, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. The whole idea of collaboration and partnerships. I did mention just a moment ago there, the whole idea that if you can encourage advocacy, if you can encourage influencers and people who are in a position of influence, maybe with a lowercase I, so influence, micro influencers within your sector, or those who your target audience listen to, if you can encourage partnerships and collaborations with them, again, money does not need to change hands. A lot of people, if you give them value, will be very happy to give value back to you. The law of reciprocity is here. You give, they feel the psychological need to give back to you. So make the most of that psychology that is there inherent in all of us. Think of partnerships and collaborations as a potential way of, you know, particularly if you have complementary audiences or services that will resonate with that particular partner, co-create marketing campaigns, share resources effectively, amplify your reach, because of course, if you're providing value through the partner to their audiences, well, you know, the amplification of your message, the reach can be 2, 3, 4, even 10 times the reach that you could do solo alone. So co-creating campaigns, initiatives, maybe new products and services, sharing and co-sharing your resources. You know, this can be a great way of maximizing and really optimizing the resource that you have available to you. And leveraging what we might call here affiliate marketing. Because what we're trying to do here is really create a win-win situation for both parties. So they become affiliates of yours. And likewise, you know, you can allow them to tap into your audience at the same time that they tap into yours. And again, because money doesn't necessarily need to change hands, as long as you're able to devote the time and energy and focus into this, you can be boosting your growth on a zero budget if you choose to do so. So what we're looking at here is really trying to get the very best, and here's the phrase again, return on investment. If you have a very budget conscious business right now, and let's face it, most of us don't have very deep pockets. Most of us are trying to squeeze the assets that we have right now to, get as much return as we possibly can. It is about handling the right opportunities correctly. Mark Hunter said, it's not about having the right opportunities, it's about handling the opportunities right. So figuring out how you can make the very, very best of the tools that you have available. So maybe investing in some kind of customer relationship management tool to be able to manage your customer relationships more efficiently than you have before. So this isn't necessarily about going out and trying to find new customers. It is much more cost effective if you have no budget to maximize the efficiency of working with existing customers, because of course they already know you. They know the value that you can give to them. So they're in a position to be able to say, okay, entertain me or educate me with the new service that you're offering, or come back to me with some new value. Tell me something I don't know. So using your CRM, your relationship management tools, and that could be at the very basic level, a spreadsheet. At a much higher level, it could be something like Salesforce.com, for example, and that is very much the higher level. But somewhere in between those two options, you have an ability here to really serve, analyze the customer, analyze what they want, serve them with what they need, measure the outcomes of those different ways of communicating with them. And again, build those relationships, build that customer intimacy, and build the level of immersive customer experience around this. Not necessarily spending money, just doing things in a neater, leaner, tighter, more focused way. And use analysis tools as well to track and optimize your marketing efforts. We're going to talk in a little while about AI and how you can use that, but explore any kind of automation tools as well that allow you to save time, reduce operational costs, allowing you to focus where the value is best, and that is in evaluation of what you see when you see how a certain campaign or a certain tool has performed, when you see how a particular initiative and how a particular contact with a customer has turned out. So really it is about also not just focusing the tools down into where you can get best ROI, but focusing your time and attention down into where you can get the best ROI. And these are just examples really of a mindset and an approach that can help you to get a lot leaner. I often remind myself when I'm thinking about doing this for myself, and, I am trying to practice all of these things myself too. I have a micro business. It's me and a number of colleagues who support me. But we're very, very small. We don't have unlimited budgets. We would much rather reinvest our time and find ourselves actually kind of being in very much a startup mindset. And this is about, really, really trying to do things on a shoestring, or bootstrapping is the phrase. If you haven't come across this before, it is a really great mindset if you're finding things are tight and really tough, is to take a lean startup approach. Because as Eric Ries says, that the lean startup method is not about cost, it's about speed. It's about doing things super efficiently and super effectively. So if you take the startup success mindset, focus on things like your minimum viable product. Again, the MVP is very, very worthwhile you researching and doing a deeper dive into. Because for a startup, this is where we need to begin. You don't have the big budgets to, invest in multi-million pound campaigns. You have to do things on an absolute bootstrap. So minimum viable product, testing the market out without heavy investment, reinvesting any income or profits you have back into the business to fuel growth. Don't be taking a lot of money out of the business if you seriously cannot afford to, and staying agile because you're in that startup mindset. It means that you can adapt to changes without overcommitting your resources. Startup mindset is so, so important, really, when things get tough. Stripping stuff back to bare basics, thinking, well, what is the minimum thing that we can do to add the maximum amount of value to our customers? What are the minimum number of products that we actually need? And for me, the Pareto principle picks up here, the 80-20 rule. knowing, and I will guarantee this for you, knowing that 20% of your products and services are creating 80% of the value that you see returned back in terms of sales and profit. 20% create 80% of the value. Just find the 20%. It is as simple as that. You're wasting a huge amount of time if you're focusing on everything. The trick here is Pareto. This is how successful startups become successful medium to larger sized businesses, is because they know this trick. They know this technique, the 80-20 rule. So figure out, if you're an established business, where is our value? Where is that 20% of the stuff that is creating 80% of the return? Because I will guarantee you that that 80-20 rule will work. Doesn't matter what kind of organization, doesn't matter what kind of sector, and it doesn't matter what you've done before. 80-20 rule applies. So keep that startup mindset in action throughout these tougher times as you start to boost growth on a budget. Another thing you can do once you kind of get into that mindset is to think about what we might term guerrilla marketing techniques. The secret ahead, getting ahead is getting started, according to Mark Twain, a very well-established quote there, which kind of comes into play here because you can piggyback onto other stuff. And this does not have to cost you very much. You can create viral, buzzworthy marketing campaigns on a very low budget if you can start to get creative. If you can start to maybe utilize public spaces creatively for high impact visual marketing, you know, there are many, many examples of really effective guerrilla marketing. One of the really famous ones was used at the Olympics, where a brand which will remain unnamed, was spending billions of dollars to sponsor the Olympics. And along comes a guerrilla marketing organization who were working for a particular competitor brand, and they would seed particularly attractive people in the audience, all dressed in very, very high visual outfits. And where did all the cameras, all the TV coverage go? It wasn't on the really expensive billboards. It was on these really sharply dressed individuals in the audience. So the attention and the eyeballs was focused on this guerrilla marketing campaign and not where the big budget had been spent. Now you can just imagine where the owners of the big budget were sort of imagining their sort of mindsets at that stage. But this is how it's done. We've got to get smart. We've got to be looking for impact. It is not about the spend. If you're in an organization that traditionally has large budgets, it is now time to get sharp. It is time to get really savvy, because it's about engaging with your audience through unexpected and memorable interactions. Those little moments that make them say, wow, not just continually spending. I always kind of put, you know, big budgets into the lazy marketers portfolio, because it is, as I found in the past myself, very easy to spend big budgets. I have in the past been responsible for TV marketing campaigns, TV ad campaigns, multi-million pound budgets. And those, if you've got a good agency, are very, very easy to spend. That's not complicated marketing. Clever, savvy, complicated marketing is where it gets tough, right here, right now, in this space that we're talking about. So start to get tough, start to get savvy, start to think about this startup mindset. And prioritize your growth areas. Don't wait to strike until the iron is hot, but make it hot by striking. William Butler Yeats's quote there: do not wait to strike until the iron's hot, make it hot by striking. You have the opportunity here to do this right here, right now. It's not going to cost you anything to do this stuff, so why not get out there and test? Identify some really high impact but low cost initiatives that could give you some quick wins. They might be small wins, but just think about that, because if you could focus on these over the longer term, these short-term gains are going to feed into longer-term strategic growth, because you can start to scale them. If they're not costing you much at low scale, why do they have to cost a lot at larger scale? A lot of people begin, and a lot of people I talk to begin their mindset with, how much do I need to spend? And I always say to them, well, if you're going to talk to me, we're going to see what we can do for zero budget. Now, we might not be able to achieve that. There might be a requirement for a little bit of budget, but let's begin with some positive outlook, some positive mindset, because I don't want to be spending as a client. I don't want to be spending your budget needlessly. I want to push myself into a way that says, well, what can we get? Because I want the ROI to look amazing. If I spend lots of budget, that means I've got to get even more of a return, and that might be difficult to do. So prioritizing your growth areas and regularly reviewing and adjusting the priorities based on the performances that come back, that is how you do this hot marketing. And that's what we're looking to do as we go through trying to boost the growth on a very, very tight budget. So some practical things that you can do, and particularly if you have existing customers. So we're not kind of, I'm really assuming here that you are a startup. So let's assume that you have some customer testimonials and referrals. And of course, as Scott Cook tells us, a brand is no longer what we tell the customer or consumer it is. It's what the consumers tell each other that it is. And of course, this is so true, isn't it? When you book a holiday or when you go to do maybe a test drive of a car that you've been, sort of looking at potentially to buy, you don't look at the manufacturer or the hotel or the airline. You go and look at the reviews that other people just like you are reviewing the experience they've already had. So let's turn that around and say, let's trade rather than on what we want to say. Let's trade on advocacy. Let's trade on these testimonials and referrals because those people become our influencers. So if we can encourage satisfied customers to share their experiences and then start to roll those out in a public sense, we can start maybe even to increase some referral programs. Maybe we even incentivize some of the word of mouth marketing that we're going to be doing. We can start for free, but if this thing really takes off, and maybe we do have a little bit of budget, or maybe we can see that there's a great return on this, then actually leveraging our testimonials and referrals, because we know the research tells us that this will really, really work at a small scale, well, maybe we can scale this up too. So showcase your testimonials, obviously, prominently on your website and through your marketing materials, and particularly through social media, at a point in your customer's journey, not right at the beginning necessarily, but a little bit later, and maybe just at that point pre-conversion, where they're just kind of teetering on the edge of, shall I commit to this organization? And then that particular testimonial or particular referral then just takes them over the edge to commit, to buy, commit to signing the contract and commit to the relationship with you. That's how we can get some really, really great growth using that. And building on that, this idea of using and working with other people, we've already talked about collaborative partnerships to create products and services and brand messages that you can push out. But how about effective networking? How about actually getting out there and talking to like-minded people who can, be part of your network? Because the network can also be your marketing machine. Porter Gale said, your network is your net worth. And it really is. You think about your LinkedIn profile and how many people you're connected with there, maybe attending industry events, engaging in meaningful conversations, not just connecting, but building relationships. And this isn't in a spammy kind of way where you say, oh, can I sell this product to you? But I won't really say I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to kind of dress up that sales message into maybe, oh, I'm doing some research or something like that. People will see through it. So I'm talking here about effective networking, building real long-term relationships that maybe will establish, your position in that network as a thought leader. So maybe if you're bringing value to that network and people then start to identify you as a thought leader, well, just think how that can ripple through in terms of all of the communication that you do. Think about how that might play out in the ways that, you can add that kind of information into your social media activity or into the blogs or the interviews that you do with others who are talking around those same subjects. All of this stuff is just a commitment of time. And I do say just a commitment of time because I know your time is also valuable. But we're not talking about spending a budget here. We're talking about you being a sharp, savvy marketer or business owner or entrepreneur who can actually make things happen without necessarily committing pound or dollar signs. And when you do all this stuff, let's just really think about the measurement of it. I've said already about continuous improvement, but you have to be measuring these budget-friendly initiatives. Let's call them that, because now they're really on your side. They're part of your portfolio of how you do what you do. Peter Drucker, again, lovely quote from him: "What gets measured gets managed." In other words, if you set some key performance indicators against your clear, smart, measurable goals for each of the initiatives that you do. And let's be fair, it only takes, if you're going to do three or four of these things that I'm talking about, it only takes a little bit more effort to set some smart goals and then some key performance indicators that allow you to regularly track progress against these things. Your networking, your collaboration, your getting out there speaking, your gathering of customer testimonials. How many do you need? How are you going to share them? What would be a good return rate? How are you going to measure that advocacy and that sharing? How are you going to measure the reach that each one of those, as you publish and promote them, the reach that those have? Think about these and regularly track the progress against these goals. And of course, be ready to pivot and make adjustments based on the performance data that you see. This is not rocket science. This is really simple, simple stuff that you can do. But it does require you to be mindful in the way that you do it. It requires you to commit your time and energy and focus to make this happen. And that is the key. And that's the key difference between you and the competitor marketers in your sector. Because let's be honest, the chances are they are not doing this. So they're wasting budget, they're wasting time, they're not as focused as you. So you can really strike some gains here. And as you do this, of course, our thoughts will turn to, well, is there a way I can become really savvy and really clever with this? Is there a way I can leverage AI on a budget? Well, the best way to predict the future is to invent it, says Alan Kay. So let's start to think about how we can build AI tools into this whole mix of stuff we're doing. So yes, of course, you can use AI, Google Bard, you can use a whole range of other tools for market research to understand customer preferences and trends at a low or zero cost. You know, if you're at a zero cost, then, you know, AI is available to you at a lower level. But if you do go for the premium tools, those things at very, very low budget will open up the opportunity to go deeper into the research, get more nuanced insights that will really, really power what you're doing over and above the competition. You can implement chatbots to enhance customer service without the need for a large customer support team. There are some really great chatbots now driven by AI that allow you to have a real conversational approach, particularly on your website and particularly early in the customer journey as people are maybe finding you for the first time. So rather than having a lot of people available 9 to 5 sat there waiting for that call or waiting for that incoming chat message, utilize AI chatbots. So go away maybe over the break and just have a think about, you know, let's have a bit of a test and see what's out there. That can be really powerful. And AI-powered automation in social media and email marketing will allow you to personalize the content, the delivery, and the analysis. So the creation of the content personalizes you teach things like ChatGPT, GPT-4, particularly here. Personalize it by teaching it the tone of voice, the kind of nuances that your target persona are looking for from you in terms of value. And then get it to help you with the scheduling of the delivery. You know, this AI stuff, it knows the where and when. It knows how best to deliver for best results. Don't always take it as absolute gospel. Make sure when you're doing it, you're analyzing and testing what happens. But just know that you've got automation here at your fingertips. And as you think about that, maybe you do stretch this on to embracing remote and freelancers who can infill where there might be some gaps. Often you can find people who are highly experienced, but they're actually very low budget. You know, you will find that there will be very, very competent, capable college leavers, or they could be specialists in a particular area. Sometimes people will come on to you and say, look, I'm a non-paid intern, but I'd love to build my portfolio working with you. So the future, as Chris Heard tells us, is the it's not about where and where you are when you're working. It's about what you do. So don't think necessarily about getting local people. You can tap into a global talent pool, hire some remote workers or freelancers for very specialized tasks. If some of the stuff I've talked here about kind of takes you out of comfort zone, and or you don't necessarily have the time available to be doing this. Project-based freelancers who can manage your workload peaks, can manage those little specialist areas where, you're not quite sure how to do the next little bit without the cost of a full-time hire. Think about this is a global pool of talent. So get onto the likes of, say, Fiverr.com, for example. Do some research. LinkedIn, again, is going to be your friend. Talk to your network. Ask your colleagues. Ask the people around you in your trusted network for, recommendations. And you can often get people to do some stuff for you, either at low or no budget, if you then co-create and co-share the outcomes, because it can be great for their portfolio. So leverage all the online platforms available to find and manage that freelance talent efficiently. Lots of great tools out there, lots of opportunity for doing this. And again, it does not have to cost you a lot. And so what we're looking at here is really leveraging the hot topics, the hot approaches, the really lean marketing techniques to get more out of next year's activity. It is possible, you can do it. And one of the topics here that is going to give you that real kind of push, both internally within your organization, as well as actually potentially as a marketing communications topic, as you look outside, are sustainable business practices. Jerry Greenfield tells us sustainability can be a competitive advantage, and it really can. Implementing eco-friendly practices, becoming very eco-friendly within the organization is going to attract environmentally conscious consumers and customers, as well as those who would like to work with and for you. It will also allow you to establish a sustainable supply chain. So your agencies, the people who supply you, will, if you're doing good practice, also encourage them to do good practice. And in theory, could actually reduce costs and appeal to a broader market as you start to establish who the best people are to be working with right across your supply or value chain. And you can, as we're suggesting here, you can use sustainability as a marketing tool to differentiate your brand. And again, these kinds of things can come into play externally as well as internally. So using sustainability, if you can start to get on the journey of sustainable business practice, you can start to talk about it. And if you're honest really open and transparent and true about how you communicate, avoiding greenwash, of course, but if you can do this in such a way that it is beyond your products and services, but becomes part of how you operate, and people identify you as being the lean, very, very focused, very, very customized kind of brands and products and services that you give huge amounts of value through, you can then really differentiate against the competition who continue to remain doing the same old stuff year in and year out. So these are some of the things that you can really focus on as you go into the following year and really start to build this stuff into your strategies. The top five things I would recommend you do as you think about maybe integrating this into your planning for the coming year would be to think about focusing on this concept of lean marketing. Think of yourself as a startup. What is the minimum viable product that you can have and do? What are the activities that you need to do? Remember that 80-20 rule? That is your friend. Harnessing digital and SEO and doing that split testing that I was talking about, just learning less is more. Do less stuff, but just make sure it really counts and powers on through. Use AI throughout your marketing activities, right from the initial research, looking for the insights and trends, all the way through to the measurement of your activity on the other side. And embrace partnerships and networking. You don't want to be doing growth on a budget in isolation. You can use others and help and teach them. Share best practice as you start in your network to get some really good gains and positive outcomes. Start to share that. What is wrong with sharing that with your trusted allies? And again, measuring and adjusting how you perform and how you go. So the key thing with these five top tips really is that boosting growth on a budget, no matter what kind of organization and where you are in your business cycle, is all about the concept of continuous improvement. And let's face it, at the heart of good professional marketing, continuously improving every day, every moment of every day, is really what you should be doing. So good luck with boosting the growth of your business on a budget. If you can do it at zero, then you've really won in this game. But just remember, as you strip back that investment of money and resources and time and people, as you strip that back, if you can continually add more and more value and efficiency in your organization, your return on investment will increase. So that's where we're trying to get to. Good luck, and I wish you every success on your journey.